Okay, good morning. This week we are learning Maseches Sota Daf Chaf Hey. The weekly shiur from Maseches Sota is sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and OMO Construction Building Futures. The breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Le'ili Nishmas, Shimon Ben Zev and Fega Bas Chaim, Sarah Bas Shalom, Ze'ev Ben David, Idol Bas Moshe Yosef, and Chaim Ben Yehoshua. Last week we started the fourth parak of Maseches Sota, and the Mishnah in the beginning of the parak listed off different examples of women who are not going to drink the Mesota. So examples of people where even if you would warn her and to not seclude herself with Reuven, and then she goes and has Stira, she didn't seclude herself with Reuven, even so she's not going to drink the Mesota for various different reasons. The first example that we gave was an Arusa or a Shomeres Yavam, a woman who is engaged to this guy or she's waiting to do Yibam with this guy, but she's not fully married to her future husband. So then she's never going to drink the Mesota. To be an example where she has to literally drink the Sota waters to determine if she's truly innocent or guilty is only when they're fully married and not when she's only engaged to her husband and then her engaged fiancé warns her. That's not going to count. That was the first example. The second example was a fully married husband and wife, but they were in an usher relationship in the first place. It was like an almana married to a kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza married to a kohen hedjot. Anyone who's married to a mamzer, mamzeres, nasina, or nasin, any example of an already usher relationship, so then also you're not going to drink the mesota. We could explain that it has to be a relationship that's re'uya lekaima, that they're currently in a mutter, permissible marriage. Only then would we say that if you warn her and then she secludes herself, would she ultimately drink the mesota? And then we also ended off that there's also examples, it's going to be important for our Gemara today, there's also examples of people who personally, for whatever reason, don't have the ability to warn their wives. Maybe because they lack the mental capacity, they're a shota, or maybe they're away, they're locked in jail, so they don't know about what their wife is doing. They can't warn their wives for whatever technical or practical reason, so Beis Din can then warn her, they can step in and do the kinui on behalf of this individual. So that was the mission that we had at the beginning of the Perek, and the Gemara today is going to really take a bit of a tangent and ask a couple of questions, which really should probably be in Maseches Ksuvos, but the answer to those questions is going to tie directly to our Mishnah, so we're going to use our Mishnah to answer a slew of questions today, and they have to do with the concept of Overes Al Das. There's a Mishnah in Ksuvos in Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, which talks about a woman who loses the rights to her Ksuva, and that's if she's acting inappropriately. And there's different levels of acting inappropriately. There's Overes Al Das Moshe, that she's really doing Isurim. Maybe she's feeding him food that she didn't take off Maaser from, or she's not being Makbid in Taras HaMishpacha. So that's really bad. That's Overes Al Das Moshe. And a lower level is also Overes Al Das Yehudis, where she's just not maintaining the Tznius standards that they had assumed when they got married. So in both of those cases, if she's Overes Al Das Moshe or Overes Al Das Yehudis, then she loses the rights to her ksuva, so that he can decide to divorce her, and he doesn't have to pay her the ksuva. And our Gemara asks the following question. We are on Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, three lines from the top. The Gemara asks, Ibailuhu, Overes Al Das, Tzricha Hasra Lahafsida Ksuvasa, do you have to give her a warning before she loses her ksuba, oh, ain't a tricha. Or no, she doesn't deserve, she doesn't get a hasra, a warning. This kind of thing where it's like a one strike, you're out. If you see that someone sees that their wife one day is walking outside with a pant, and it's a community where no one wears pants, so you can just say, boom, you lost your ksuba, and I'm divorcing you. Or does she give her? She gets a second chance. You have to give her a hasra and say, hey, by the way, if you do this, you're going to lose your ksuba. And then if she does it, she'll lose her ksuba. Does she get a hasra? Do you have to give her a warning beforehand? Or is it just a one strike, you're out sort of deal? So the Gemara, this is a question about that Ksuvis topic of Overes Al Das, Tzricha Asra, is going to bring a raya for this from our Mishnah. If you think our example of Sota seems to be an example, Rashi points out, of Overes Al Das Yehudis. Just like a woman who is not maintaining the Tznias standards is Overes Al Das Yehudis. So the Chora, a case where a man says to his wife, don't seclude yourself with Reuven, and then she goes acting inappropriately and ignores her husband and goes to and secludes herself with Reuven. So the Chora, that's lacking the Tznias standards. So our case of Sota seems to be a great example of Overes Al Das Yehudis. So we can bring rayas from our case of Sota to discuss the discussion of the topic of Overes Al Das Yehudis from Ksuvos. So Gemara spells out the kasha. Mi amrinan kevin to overes al das he lo bayas ra. Do we say that? No, look, she's doing this. She's acting inappropriately. So she lost her ksuba, and that's it. O dilma, or do we say no? Ti bayas ra, you have to give her a warning. The e hadra bate hader, because maybe after you warn her, so she'll change her ways and she'll start acting appropriately. So does she deserve a warning before she loses her ksuba? Or do we just say no? You don't have to warn her. The fact that she's doing this is so bad that she loses rights to her ksuba just automatically. So Merk is going to bring a raya from our Mishnah from the beginning of the parak, from last week's Mishnah. So the Gemara brings a raya, Tashma. Arusa v'shomeres yavam lo shosos v'lo not los ksuva. The Mishnah says that an arusa or a shomeres yavam, so the guy isn't married to his wife, but they're engaged, or they're waiting to do yibum, and he warns her, don't seclude yourself with Reuven, and then she does seclude herself with Reuven. So the Mishnah said she does not have to drink the meisota, and she just gets divorced, and she loses her ksuva because it was all her fault. But the Gemara is medayik from the Mishnah that Mishta hu delo shasya, she doesn't drink the meisota. Sota, but hakinui mekanila. Sounds like the very last step of the process, the drinking the sota water. That's what we say it does not apply to the arusa. But all the previous steps of kinui, that you should warn her beforehand, that still is relevant to the case of an arusa. So hakina mekanila, that there is some sort of warning, some sort of hasra. So lamai, what's he warning for? Lav lahafsida ksuvasa. Isn't he warning her that she shouldn't seclude herself with Reuven because she's going to lose her ksuva? Like, so imagine, the guy is engaged to his wife, and he says, I warn you, don't seclude yourself with Reuven. And then she says, or what? And he says, oh, well, you're going to drink the meisota. She's like, no, I'm not. Mishnah says, you don't drink the meisota if you're only an arusa. So what's he warning? He's saying here, don't seclude yourself with Reuven, because then, dot, dot, dot. What is the repercussions of her seclusion? So the Mishnah wants to say, right, so it's not that if you do this, and you're going to have to drink the sota water. So maybe what he's warning her is, don't do that, because if you do, you're going to lose your ksuva. And we see a raya from our Mishnah that you have to give her a warning, a hasra'a, before you take away her rights to the ksuva. So isn't our Mishnah a raya? What else could he be warning her about if not for the fact that she's going to lose her ksuva? So Gemara gives two answers. Amar Abaye, lo le'osra alav. Abaye says, no, I'll tell you what he's warning her about. He's warning her, don't do that, because if you do, you're going to be usher to me. He's giving a kinui, not because you're going to drink the sota waters at the end, not because you have to warn before you take away someone's ksuba, but he's warning her because if you do seclude yourself with Reuven, you're going to be usher to me, so I'm letting you know this, and therefore you shouldn't do that. That's how Abaye explains the kinui of an arusa, even though it's not going to lead to the meisota, if the kinui is to warn her that she's going to become usher to her husband. And the second answer, Rav Papa Amar, Lahashkosa Keshehi Nisua. Rav Papa says, you're giving her a warning to say, don't seclude yourself with Reuven, because if you do, if later we would get married, and then you would seclude yourself with Reuven again after we actually are married, then you would have to drink the meisota. So in Akhanami right now, that we're not fully married, you don't have to drink the sota waters if you seclude yourself with Reuven. But if you would do that, if you would do stira after we get married, then I'm warning you right now, this warning is going to be in effect, because if you do have stira after we are married, after you're in a sua, then you're going to have to drink the meisota. Kidatanya, as it says in the Braisa, Ain Mekanin the Arusa la Ashkosa Kishahi Arusa, right? In Achrani, as our Mishnah said, if you warn an Arusa to not have stira, that's not going to lead her to drink the sota waters when she's an Arusa. But still, Aval Mekanin la Arusa, we do warn an Arusa la Hashkosa Kishahi Nesua. And that warning, that kinui, works to make her drink the sota waters if she does have stira after she's Nesua. So that's two rejections to the raya. We thought we had a raya, because our Mishnah says that, or implies that you give a kino, you do warn your wife if she's in arusa. And the question was, what's the warning about? She isn't going to drink the sota waters, because you don't drink the sota waters if you are if you have kinui and stira while you're only engaged. So what's the warning for? So one answer was, the warning is, don't do that, because if you do, you're going to be usher to me. And the second answer was, don't do that, because I'm giving you a warning now, because if you do have stira when we are actually married in a few months or down the line, then you're going to have to drink the sota waters. The kinui is for drinking, but only for after she is a nesua. That was the first attempted proof from our Mishnah, but we don't stop there. Amar Rava, Tashma, look at the next case of our Mishnah. Perhaps that could be a raya that you have to, again, the point is here to prove, you have to have a warning before you tell a woman that she's going to lose her kesuva. So Tashma, the next case in our Mishnah. What?
You think if somebody's warning somebody to do an aveira, there should be Honestly, right before the Aveira, I think you're saying 6 months down the road when you're married, I would think that the Kinoi has to be more in closer proximity to when actually married, as opposed to do it when she's in the Rusa, like down the road.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
That doesn't sound like
the end. Right. From the fact that you can do kinui when you're engaged to be chal for when you're later on married, it definitely is a chiddush. Yeah, it definitely seems to imply that we're hoping she's gonna remember that they gave this warning, you know, a long time ago. But yeah, I guess it's just in general. Even if a married couple is married and he gives her a warning, you know, now and then 5 years later she has stira. So that's a good question. I think that's just how it works. And if you had a warning at some point, that's gonna be chal no matter the time frame. But that may not be true. That's a good sugya to look into. Great point. Amar Rav Satoshma, look at the next case in our Mishnah. Amana l'kohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedjot, or mamzeres v'nesina l'Yisrael, or bas Yisrael l'mamzer ulenasin. Right, so we said all these different examples of a relationship. They're married, but they shouldn't be. They're living be'isser. So in those cases, the husband who's married to his wife be'isser, and he warns her, don't have stira with Reuven, and then she does. Lo shosos velo not lo ksuva. She is not going to have to drink the mesota. They just get divorced and she loses her ksuva because it was her fault for doing stira, for secluding herself. So again, they make the same diuk. It sounds like mishtahu de lo shasya, the last step of the sota process of drinking the waters, that is she's excluded from. But hakinuye mekanila, but the husband would warn her and is allowed to or is expected. There's a halachic implication of giving some sort of warning to your wife, even though she's already usher to you. So what's that warning for? If she's not going to drink the sota waters, so it's not saying don't do that. If you do, you're going to drink the waters, because she's not going to drink the waters. And it also can't be our previous answer of don't do that. Don't have steer with Reuven, because if you do, you're going to be usher to me, because she's already usher to him. So this time, what's the kinui for? Ulamai ila osran alav ha'asiran v'kaiman. If it's because I'm warning you, because you're going to become usher to me if you do have steer with Reuven, you're already usher to me because you're a mom or you're a mamzeres or I'm a mamzer. It's already an usher relationship. Elolav must be a raya for us that the warning is lahafsidan kesuvasa. The whole point of the warning is to say don't have stira with Reuven because if you do, you're going to lose your ksuva. A raya that you have to warn a woman before telling her that she loses her ksuva. So Amar Rav Yehuda mi diskarta. So Rav Yehuda says a way to answer to reject this raya says lo le osra le boel kebaal. The warning isn't that hey don't have stira because if you do you're going to be usher to me, and it's not due to that because if you do you're going to lose your kesuva. Meaning ein achinami, you don't have to warn someone before they lose their kesuva, but the warning is don't have stira because if you do have stira with Reuven, you're going to become usher to Reuven. The osra the boel kibal. It's not as the Mishnah says later on in the Masechta. Kishem sha asura lebal kach asura leboel. In general, when you have a husband warns his wife, don't have stira with Reuven, and then she does, so she becomes usher to her original husband, and she also becomes usher to Reuven. So this warning, this kinui of don't do that, is not saying don't do that because you're going to lose your ksuva. You don't have to warn someone before they lose their ksuva. The warning is don't do that because you're now going to become usher to Reuven.
Meaning even if they get divorced, you cannot marry the...
Exactly. It's what Rashi points out. The Osra Boel, yeah. Osra Boel, Em Yamos Zeh, if the husband would die, or Yigreshenu, if they get divorced, she's not allowed to marry this the Boel. The warning is that she's going to be usher to the Boel. One could ask, because this would work for like the Amana Kohen Gadol, that Kohen Gadol is married to an Amana, he's not supposed to, and so he's warning her, don't do that with Reuven, because if you do, you're going to be usher to Reuven. But one of the examples in our Mishnah was a Mamzeres who's usher to everybody. So the Marasha and the Maratzchias in the back ask, a Mamzeres, one of the examples in our Mishnah, already is usher to the husband, and already is usher to the Boel. Everyone's usher to be with a mamzeres. So what's the kinui la osra aboel if she's already usher to the boel? Every Yisrael is usher to a mamzeres. So the Marsha answer must be not everyone, because a mamzer is mutter to a mamzeres. So for that case, you'd have to say that it's talking about a mamzer and a mamzeres that would have been mutter. And the warning is, no, even though you would have thought that would have been a perfect shidduch, and you're going to be with Reuven, that's not going to work out, because you're going to be usher, you're going to be usher to him because of the din of kishem sha asura labal kach asura laboel.
Is this warning the mechanism that makes her usher? Since we don't have 80 members actually a relationship?
Right, I think it's the combination of the kinui and stira creates a Raglayim ledavar, that something happened, and therefore, and that makes her usher to her husband, and makes her usher to the boel. That's the chiddush of sota. We don't know what happened. If we knew, even an ein echad would be enough for us to know what happened. We don't know what happened, but the halacha from the Torah is that if you have a warning followed by her actually being miyached with that man, that's enough of a raglayim ledavar, right? That's enough of a suspicion that something did happen, that there's going to be a real concrete iser. But yeah.
One quick question. When it says that why not those ksuvasa, so then she doesn't, according to this bryce, so she just never takes ksuvah because they're married to Esther. I'm just wondering how would explain that aspect when it says the bryce.
So yeah, you're saying the Mishnah says...
The bryce says why not those ksuvah. What does that mean, why not those ksuvah then?
You're saying, shouldn't she already lose her ksuvah because she's married in an usher relationship?
Yes. I'm saying, what is the conclusion? If we're saying that the idea is that she's not being usher to ksuvah, what is the bryce saying that why not those ksuvah?
No, I think we're saying... The point of these deflections of the raya is ena chenami, she loses her ksuva, but don't say, oh, if you're ever going to tell someone they lose.
We're saying she loses the ksuva.
Yeah, but the warning isn't just, oh, because you have to warn before they lose.
Okay, because I thought it comes out that I thought if she married the Isra, she never takes the ksuva in this case.
So, ena chenami, they don't get their ksuva in any of these cases, but the warning is not.
They didn't have a warning, I'm saying. I thought if it's not Mongol kind of, there's no warning.
Right, that's a separate kasha. So a separate kasha is, why does our Mishnah have to say that she doesn't get her ksuva? Shouldn't she really not get her ksuva because they're married by Isser?
Yeah.
Yes, that's a separate kasha, which is dealt with. I don't recall what the discussion is in the Mefarshim, whether there's a potential to say that she does get a ksuva in that scenario or not. I don't remember. But yeah, that is a good question to ask. Why is it, oh, she doesn't get a ksuva because she was warned in these examples, if she's married by Isser, shouldn't she by default not get her ksuva? But yeah, I'm not sure if that's what they have to say about that, but that's a good point. Okay, so that was, we had two rayas. Our question was, again, really a ksuva's question. The Maseches Ksuva says, if she's overeh saldah, she's acting inappropriately mitzad snias, she loses her ksuva. Our question was, does she have to get warned beforehand or not? So we brought two rayas from our Mishnah that we thought would be a good proof that, because you're warning in a case in our Mishnah where there's no actual hashka'as mesota, so isn't that warning a warning to say, hey, you're going to lose your ksuva, a raya that you have to warn before you tell her she lost her ksuva? And we rejected both of those rayas. No, the warning isn't because of the ksuva. The warning is because you're going to be usher to her husband. It's going to be usher to the boel, some other reason. But that warning is not necessarily the hasra'a before lahafsida ksuvasa. So a third raya, this is our final raya, again from our Mishnah, Amar Bichanina Misura Tashma, the end of our Mishnah. The Elu Shebeistin Mikanin Lahen, these are the people that Beistin do the kinui for him. For a guy who's Mishin is Charish Baila, if the husband is a Charish, he's deaf, or Nishtata, or he's not mentally capable of being aware of what's going on, Oshahaya Chavosh Bevesa Asurim, or if he's in jail, so he can't do anything, he's not around. The Lola Hash, so in those cases, Beistin does Kinui, but what's that Kinui for? The Mishnah even clarifies very explicitly. The Lola Hashkosa Amru, that Kinui is not because, oh, and then if she does clear herself with Ruvain, she's gonna have to drink the Mesota. That's not what happens at all. Right, for the hashkas mesota, that it has to be that the husband was the one who did the kinui. So what are based in doing this kinui for? The Mishnah says explicitly, Ella leposla miksubasa. The Mishnah says mefurish, based in do kinui in certain situations. What's that kinui for? Not to make her drink the mesota. That warning is to tell her she's going to lose her ksuva. So very mefurish raya, shma mina, bai hasra'a, shma mina. A very explicit raya from our Mishnah, that based in do a kinui when the husband's not there. And the Mishnah even says mefurish. Why? What's that kinui for? That kinui is to tell her that beforehand, in advance, a hasra, before she loses her ksuva. So shmamina, a raya that by overeh saldas in general, when a woman's going to lose her ksuva, but she's acting inappropriately, it's not just a one strike, you're out. You have to give her a warning beforehand in order to make her lose her ksuva. So Gemara asks the obvious question, v'kulhu my taima lo amri meha. Why did no one else bring this raya? We're starting off from the first case of our Mishnah, second case of our Mishnah, the third case, the last case of our Mishnah explicitly says that Beistin warned her to make her lose her ksuva. Isn't that explicit? It's an easy raya. Why did everyone else ignore that raya? So the Gemara answers, Dilma shaini hasam delays la emsa de baal klal. Maybe only over there does she deserve hasra, because it's not so much her fault. In this case, her husband isn't really around. Her husband is a cheresh or a shota, or he's in jail. Her husband's not around, so it's not as egregious of her to go and be miyachid with another man. So there, where she didn't do something so terrible, or it's pretty not as terrible, so we give her a warning, we give her a second chance. But if it would be where the husband's around and still, and the husband tells her, don't be miyachid with Reuven, and then she goes and is miyachid with Reuven, that's such an egregious violation that she doesn't need a hasra. The fact that she did something so terrible alone will be enough for her to lose her ksuva. So the havamina was that maybe our Mishnah is not a good raya. In our Mishnah, you have to give her a warning because what she's doing isn't so bad. But by a general case where what she's doing is terrible, maybe she doesn't even deserve a hasra, and you could just make her lose her ksuva because what she did itself was so bad, she shouldn't have done that. So kamash malan, that no, in the end of the day, we are comfortable with the raya from our Mishnah, but that's explaining the svara as to why no one else brought that raya until the end, was because that raya didn't seem to be so clear. But at the end of the day, that's our final raya, that based in warn the wife lepos lamiksubasa, we see mefurish that you give a hasra'a before making her, before just telling her that she lost her ksuva. She gets a warning beforehand. And this concept of Imsa de Baal, the Mishnah has mentioned, that when a husband's around, there's a certain sense of awe or of carefulness that she has, is relevant in Halacha L'maisa. That's the svara behind the exception to Yichud, to the Isser Yichud. There's an exception of Baila Be'ir, that if her husband is in town, then there's no Isser Yichud because of this same svara of Imsa de Baal. She has the fact that her husband is somewhere nearby alone is enough for her to feel a certain sense of care, and therefore she's not going to do anything inappropriate. That concept of Emsa de Baal is the mechanism behind the exception of Baila Be'ir to the Isser Yichud. So that was question number one. That was the first question our Gemara has, and we brought three potential rayas, and the third raya was the final raya, that yes, you do have to warn a woman before she loses her ksuba. Now the Gemara goes on to question number two. Ibay lehu, overes al das verotza baal lekaima. Let's say she acted inappropriately mitzatznias, but then the husband says, I don't care. I still love her, and I still want to stay married with her. So is he allowed to stay married to this wife who was acting inappropriately on the streets? So mekaima o ena mekaima. Is he allowed to stay married to her if he wants to, or is he not allowed to? Mi amrinam bekepeda de baal tala rachmana. Do we say that it's dependent on each individual husband if he's makbid, v'ha lo kapid? And this husband isn't makbid. This husband doesn't care that she was acting in non-sneous ways. O dilma, or do we say, no, kevan de kapid. Since in general, it's the derech of husbands to be makbid, that when their wives are acting inappropriately, that they are upset about it. So even if this husband personally isn't upset about it, in general, we consider it as if he is makbid, because everyone generally is makbid about this sort of thing. So it's alvera saldas, a husband-by-husband sort of situation, where each one can decide if they care and want to stay married or divorced without the ksuba. Or no, do we say it's across the board, whenever someone's wife is acting inappropriately, she's being over saldas, then they have to get divorced. So Gemara brings a raya. Again, there's another question, a ksubas question, which are going to bring rayas from our same Mishnah that we've been dealing with the whole time. The Mishnah says, Tashma, the elu shebeis din mekanin lahen, mishin escharish baila, o nishtata, o shahaya chavosh beveis ha'asurim. Again, our Mishnah had said that beis din can do the kinui, the beis din can warn the husband, can warn the wife on behalf of the husband. So based on that concept, the Gemara wants to bring over the following raya. If you're going to say that the husband can actually decide that he wants to stay married to this woman, so of the based in midi, the dilma lo nichale labaal, are we basically going to do something on behalf of the husband that he doesn't actually want to be done? But there's a concept, which comes up in the beginning of Ktuvis, of zachin la'adam shalob b'fanav, that if somebody is not around, so I find a quarter on the street, and I want to declare that this quarter, I'm picking it up on behalf of Erez. So Erez says, I didn't ask him if he wants it, but Lechora, he wants this quarter, so if I pick it up on behalf of him, a zechus for Erez, I can do it even if he isn't around. But a chov to say, on behalf of Erez, everyone gets $100 and he'll pay you after this year. So I can't be chavin le'adam shel b'fanav. I can't make a chov onto someone that they don't actually want. I can't be a shaliach for what they don't want if they haven't given me explicit shlichus. So in our Mishnah says that, oh, if the husband can't warn the wife, don't worry, Basin's got your back, Basin's going to do it for you. But if this is the kind of thing that the husband can decide that he doesn't actually want to warn her, that he's okay with her acting inappropriately, so how can Basin act as his shaliach if they're being chavin, they're being a shaliach for that which he doesn't even want? So Basin can't do a shlichus if the husband isn't going to be okay with it in the end. So our Mishnah, which says that the Beis Din can do it on behalf of the husband, must be assuming that the husband has no choice over here, and therefore it's by default a thing that the husband is going to be machbit about, and therefore they're going to act as his shaliach. So Gemara answers no. There's no raya from our Mishnah, because stama de milsa kevan de overes adas hi minach nichale. Beis Din can just act on the fact that mistama, he's going to, right, majority of husbands are going to be machbit about this sort of thing, so Beis Din can act as a shaliach for him, because 90% of the time, he'll be okay with it. Under the 10% chance that he doesn't want to warn her, he wants to stay married to her, then fine, that he'll have the opportunity to do this. But the fact that Beis didn't do this is because most of the time the husband's going to be okay with it, and most of the time it's going to be an effective kinui. So that was question number two. Question number one was by Elvera Saldas. She loses her ksuba if she's acting in inappropriate tznia standards. And the first question was, does she get a hasra'a before she loses her ksuba, or does she not get a hasra'a? And that we answered, she does get a hasra'a beforehand. Second question was, if someone's wife is acting inappropriately, she's Elvera Saldas, can he decide that he wants to stay married to her? And we tried to bring a raya from our Mishnah that he doesn't have the choice, but really that left it as a tzarachian, that it still hasn't been clarified whether he can decide to stay married if he wants to, and say that I don't care that she was acting inappropriately, mitzatznias, that's still a akasha. And now we get to question number three. The third, ibailu. The Gemara asks, Baal shemachal al kinuyo, kinuyo machol, o eno machol. Does the husband have the ability to retract his kinuy? So he warns his wife, don't be miyached with Reuven. Can he then change his mind and say, actually, no, Reuven's a good guy, and I trust you guys, and I take it back. I hereby denounce my warning that I gave to you. So can I take that back? The Gemara later is gonna clarify, is there a point where it's too late? Like, are we asking, let's assume right now we're asking that before she did anything. But let's say he says, don't have a yichud with Reuven, and then she does. So right now she's en route to being usher to her husband. At that point, maybe at that point, can he still be mochel and say, I actually didn't care the whole time, and now we're mutter, and we can stay married? That's what we're going to talk about later on. We're going to clarify that detail. But now we're just going to assume in general, can he be mochel? Can he retract his kinoi, his warning, after he warns her, or can he not? So, mi amrinon bekinoi de baal talarachmana. It's all dependent on the husband's warning, and baal ha mochel le kinoyo, and he was mochel. He retracted his kinoi, so maybe he's able to be mochel. Oh, Dilma, or do we say no? Kivan de kanile meikara lo matzi machile. Or do we say no? You can't take it back once the words have left your mouth. You've officially warned your wife about Reuven. You can't take those words back. Is this the kind of thing that could be retractable or not? So again, we bring a raya from that same statement of our Mishnah. The Gemara says Tashma. The elu based in mekanin lahen, based in can do kinoy for the following husbands, mishin is charesh baila, o nishtata, o shahayachavos beves ha'asurim. In the following cases, a charesh shota, or a guy who's in jail, based in can warn the wife on behalf of the husband. The Gemara now brings a raya. The iamrid baal shem mochel al kinuyo kinuyo mochel. If you're going to say the husband has the ability to be mochel on his kinuy, that in general, when he warns his wife, he has the ability to say, nah, I take it back. Or, I was just kidding. I don't care anymore. If that's true, then what's going to happen over here? Basin are going to warn this woman and say, on behalf of your husband, we warn you, kinui, that you shouldn't be with Reuven. And then, avdinan midi to asi baal mochile. The husband's then going to come back and say, actually, I don't really care. And Rashi points out, it's going to be a zilusa to Beidina. It's going to make Basin look a little foolish. They're going to feel a little silly. It's going to be a disgrace to Basin that they're going and they're making a whole hullabaloo that we are acting on behalf of the husband to warn you about Reuven. And then he comes back out of jail and he's like, oh, no, I don't care about Reuven. And then it's going to make Basin feel like they're idiots. And people are going to think that Basin are just, they can do things and take them back, and what they do doesn't really work and doesn't make sense. We're very careful about Zilusa de Beidina, about not doing things, not having Beis Din do things that can make them look bad, make people question the whole system. So it seems like from the fact that Beis Din can warn the husband, it seems like we're not concerned about Zilusa Beis Dina, because perhaps that's a raya that the husband is not able to retract his kinui. So the Gemara says, no, Einachinami, that he could, in theory, be mochel, but still there's not much of a concern of Zilusa Beis Dina, because Stama de Milsa Adam Maskim Al Das Beis Din. Most of the time, he's not going to be mochel. So on the 1% chance that he does say, actually, I don't care about Reuven, so yeah, maybe that 1% chance Beis Din will look a little, feel a little funny, but most of the time, there's not much of a concern of Zilusa de Beis Dina over here, so there's no raya from our Mishnah about whether he can be mochel or not mochel. Beis Din warned him, and even though potentially maybe he could be mochel. So there's no raya from our Mishnah, but we try to bring a different raya. This raya is from a bit earlier in the Masechta, where we said, Tashma umosrin lo shnei tamide chachamim, that when the guy warns his wife, and then she is miyached with Reuven, and now he's gonna escort her now from their local Beis Din to the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim, and as they're gonna walk there, we appoint two tamide chachamim to go with them as they're on that trip. And the purpose is Shema Yavo Ala Badarach, because we want to make sure that he's not going to be with his wife along the way, because right now they're usher to each other. So Ve'i Amrit Baal Shem Machal Al Kinuyo Kinuyo Machal. But if you're going to tell me that the husband who warned his wife has the ability to take back his kinuy, he has the ability to take back and retract his warning, so then Lechle Likinuyo Velivol. What's the problem? On the road to Beis Din HaGadol, they're going to decide that they actually want to stay married and they want to be together. Well, that's totally okay. All he has to do is say, I hereby am mochel on anything that I ever said, and I'm mochel on my kina that I did. I take back my warning, and now they're mutter. Right? So if it's true that the husband can be mochel on his kinui and take back the warning, so why are we concerned you have to have two tmei chachamim, two escorts, to be careful that they aren't together? They don't have bia along the road. Why do we care? He can easily be mochel, and then they would be allowed to be together. So Gemara says, no, maybe ain't a chanami. Yeah, actually, you're right. He does have the ability to be mochel and then be with his wife, even after she's been warned and secluded. But Maishna Tamidei Chachamim, that's exactly the reason why the Mishnah says that you appoint two Tamidei Chachamim, Digamiri, who are learned, and therefore they're going to tell him, to e boi lemival, that, hey, if you decide that you actually want to live with your wife right now, Amri Le, they tell him, Achle Lekinuyach Ubala. First, you should be mochel on your kinui and then be with her. So the two Tamidei Chachamim that come along, they're not saying, don't be with your wife along the trip. They're saying, if you're going to be with your wife on this trip, make sure that you're mochel, that you take back the kinui before you do so. So again, there's no raya from there either, whether the husband can be mochel or not be mochel. So we brought two different rayas so far that we have both rejected. One was, how can Beis Din warn on behalf of this husband if he can be mochel? The second raya was, why are we concerned he's going to be ba'al ba'derech? Shouldn't it be mutter? Just warn, just be mochel on your kinui, and then you can be with your wife along the road to the Beis Din HaGadol. And we rejected both of those rayas, that they actually could still make sense, even if it's possible, and he's allowed to be mochel on his kinui. So we bring the final Raya, Tashma, the Amr of Yoshia, Shlosha Devarim, Sachli, Ze'ira, Me Anshe Yushalayim. Rav Yoshia said that there were three halachos that Ze'ira from Anshe Yushalayim told me. Number one, for us, very important, that Baal Shamachal al Kinuyo, Kinuyo Machal. He told me that a husband does have the ability to take back and be mochel on the warning that he did, on the kinuy that he did to his wife. Number two, v'zaken mamre sheratu Beis Din limcho lo mochlin lo, that is zaken mamre. If someone, one of the poskim from the Beis Din, decides to poskin against the official psak of the Beis Din HaGadol, so that is a achiyav misa, but Beis Din, he said, number two, that Beis Din have the ability to be mochel and say, actually, we're okay with his zaken mamre, and we don't want to make him a achiyav misa. And number three, by Ben Sora Umore, that Ben Sora Umore sheratu other v'imo limcholo mochlim lo. That by Ben Sora Umore, that the parents are allowed to say that we are mochel and we don't want to send our kid to Beis Din to be killed for his chait. We actually want him to live and stay with us as a happy family. That's probably one of the reasons why Ben Sora Umore, the Gemara says within one shita, never happened, because it would take certain parents to say that we're not mochel and he's been doing things so bad that we aren't going to be mochel on him. So that's one of the, there are a couple of different reasons why it may not have happened, but one of them would be that they have the ability to be mochel along the way, so lechora that happens, would happen most of the time, even if it did get that far. But that's three different halachos that they told Rav Yoshia. One was that the husband can be mochel on his kinui, two, that Beis Din can be mochel on a zaken mamre, and three, that parents can be mochel on a ben sora umore. Ukishabasi etel chaverai shebedarom, and Rabbi Yosha says that when I then went to my friends in the darom, al shnayim hoduli v'alzakin mamre lo hoduli. That out of those three things, two of them they agreed to. They agreed to the zakim. They agreed to the bensura umora, and they agreed to the kinui that they could be mochel on the kinui. V'alzakin mamre lo hoduli. They were not moda about zakin mamre. Basin cannot be mochel and say we're okay with the fact that this guy paskined against Basin because. Shalo yarbu machlokas be Yisrael. We don't want to create machlokas in Yisrael. Imagine you have people who are coming out and paskening against the Beis Din Agadol. You can have people doing different things. It's going to be a terrible result. So to prevent machlokas, people paskening against the Beis Din, that they shouldn't be mochalan. But for us, we have a great raya. Shmamina baal shemochal al kinuyo machol shmamina. A raya mefurish from this conversation between Rav Yoshia and Zeira, that a husband can be mochel on his kinui. He warned his wife, don't be with Reuven. He can then say, actually, I take it back, and I'm okay with you having a stira with Reuven. So that was the answer to question number 3. Question number 1 was, you have to warn your wife before she loses her ksuva. Question number 2 was, can you decide to stay married to your wife even if she is acting in an inappropriate way? Question number 3 was, can the husband be mochel on his kinui? And we have answered most of those questions. And now we have a final detail about that third question, about the husband being mochel on his kinui. That's what we referenced earlier, that Pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravina, Rav Acha and Ravina argued about the nature of being mochel on your kinui. Chad amar kodem stira mochel, la'achar stira eina mochel. What is a very logical point? That you can only be mochel on the kinui before she actually was miyache with Reuven. Once she was with Reuven, at that point, perhaps it would be too late. The Chad Amar, the other opinion was, no, even la'achar stira nami machel. So machlokes about if you warned her not to be with Reuven, and then she did seclude herself with Reuven, at that point, is it too late to be mochel on your kinui? Or perhaps even at that point, even after she was miyachi with Reuven, even then, and you're usher, and she has to go drink the soda waters, perhaps even then, you can be mochel on your kinui. That's a machlokas, Rav Acha and Ravina. And the Gemara picks aside, umistavra kemanda amar eno machel. It's very mistaber, it's logical, that like the Shita, that says that you can't be mochel on your kinui after she was already secluded with Reuven. Okay, look at the following Gemara from Dav Zayin. Mimai, midekama haji rabbanon the Rabbi Yosi. Look at the following conversation between the rabbanon and Rabbi Yosi. The Tanya, we said in the Braisa, that Rabbi Yosi Omer, Rabbi Yosi says that we had said earlier that you have to appoint two Tamid Chachamim to escort him and her along the way to Beis Din Agadol and Yerushalayim to ensure that they don't do anything inappropriate. Rabbi Yosi says, you don't need to have the two Tamid Chachamim because Baila Ne'eman Aleha Mikal V'Chomer. We can trust this husband to not be with his wife, Be'ezer, because of Eikal V'Chomer. From Nida. Uman Nida, right by Nida, a husband and wife, we don't say you have to have an aide that watches that you weren't with your wife while she was in Nida. We trust you that you're not going to be with your wife when she's in Nida. And Uman Nida, Shehi Bekares, that's an Isser Kares, Ba'la Neman Aleha, and we're going to trust the husband to say that he was not with his wife. So Sota, Shehi Belav, it's a lower level Isser, so Lo Kol Shekein, even more so, if you're going to trust a husband to not be with his wife when she's in Nida, you should also, Kavachomer, trust someone to not be with their wife who is a Sota. That was Rav Yossi's Svara. And look at the Rabbanan's response. The Rabbanan responded, Amru lo, no, not a good Kal v'Chomer, because im amrit bin Nida, shekein yesh laheter. The reason we trust the husband by Nida is because there's a way for him to be with her beheter. Just wait till she's not in Nida anymore, and then he'll be mutter, and pas pesalo, he's not going to violate any Isser with her, because he knows it's going to become mutter in just a few days. But tumar besota, shein la heter, by sota, it's not within his hands to make her mutter. Make her mutter to him. So maybe by sota, we're not going to trust the husband to not be with his wife because there's no clear, open path to him being with her, the heter. So but that line, to categorize sota as being ain la heter, that there's no way for him to make this wife mutter to him, that's a very telling line. Because ve'i amrit la'achar stira machula, if you're going to say like one of those amaraim, that even after kinui and stira, and while they're on their way to Beis Din for her to drink the mesota, even at that point he could still be mochel and take everything back and make her mutter to him, so that mishkachas la, the yesh la heter. Sota is also yesh la heter. The ibayi machal le lekinuya ibayil. He can be machal on the kinuya and be with her. Elash mamina, it must be from the fact that the Rabbanan referred to Sota as being ein la heter. There's no way for him to make this relationship mutter right now. Shmamina la achar stira eino machol. Shmamina that after she already had stira with Reuven, at that point he can't be mochel. So we concluded for question number 3: can the husband be mochel on his kinui? He warns his wife, "Don't be with Reuven." Can he take that back? So we say yes, he could, as long as she hasn't secluded herself with Reuven yet. But after stira, and then she has to go to basin to drink the mesota, at that point he can't take it back. At that point it would be too late. So that's our 3 questions that we brought Rayas from our Mishnah and from other places in the Masechta to try to clarify the halacha about Hasra for Iksuva, deciding to be with your wife even though she was acting inappropriately, and whether you can be mochel on your kinui. We now go shift to another aspect of our Mishnah. Another example, another case from our Mishnah from last week, from the beginning of the Perek, was Mesu Ba'aleyem Ad Shelo Shasu. Right, so ultimately, she's going to drink the Mesota, and if she's innocent, then she's mutter, and they get to stay together, and she gets her tzuva. She didn't do anything wrong. But then the husband dies. If the husband dies, so we have to stop everything right there. We have to halt the process, and she doesn't get the drink. And the question then is, does she get her tzuva now? The husband died, so she's not going to be with her husband anymore because he's dead. But does she get the ksuba now? She didn't get the opportunity to drink the sota waters and to prove her innocence. But she's not going to drink the mei sota. But does she get her ksuba, or does she not get her ksuba? Where things currently stand right now, there's a suffix. Was she mizane with Reuven, or was she not? We don't know what happened. We don't have the magical waters to prove her innocence. So we have a suffix about dine mamunis. And the machokas in the Mishnah, Beis Shammai say she gets the ksuba, Beis Hillel say she does not get the ksuba. So this machlokas is gonna, the Gemara is going to explain, comes down to who is the muksuk in the money. In general, if you have a suffix about a halacha and dinim mamunis, if Arias and I have machlokas about whether I owe him $100 or not owe him $100, and we have no clue who it is, so the decision by a suffix is amotz mechaveru alav araya. Right now, I have $100 in my pocket, and by default, we don't know who gets what. The default is it's in my pocket, so I get to keep the money. The one who's mochsuk in the money by a suffix mamunis keeps the money. So the question over here, when the woman who now wants to get the ksuva from her deceased husband's kids, so the question is going to be, who is mochsuk in the ksuva? Right now, the ksuva is in the pockets of her husband, who just died. So, but I would assume that the husband is the mochsuk, but Beis Shammai, who say that she actually gets a ksuva, in this case of Safik, Beis Shammai assume that even though the ksuva money, the 200 zuz, is currently in the pockets of the husband, she's still considered a mochsuk in the ksuva. So how is that? How do we understand that? So the Gemara clarifies a very bottom line of Chav Hei Amar Aleph, the Mai Kamiflegi. What's the Machlokas? Beis Shammai Sari, Beis Shammai hold that she gets the Ksuva because she's a Mochsuk in the Ksuva. Even though the husband and his Yarshim have the Ksuva dollars, she's a Mochsuk. Why? Because Shtar Ha'omid Legavos Kegavoy Dami. She has a Shtar Ksuva, and if you have the Shtar, it's as if you've already collected it, and therefore the fact that she has a Shtar saying that she deserves the Masayim Zuz, even though the money's currently in the Yarshim's pockets, it's she's the one who's a muksuk, and therefore she should get the ksuva. And Beis Hillel Savri, no. Beis Hillel say, Shtar ha'omi legavos, lav kegavi dummi. Beis Hillel say, she does not get the ksuva. Why? Because they hold, even though she has the shtar, it's not kegavi, it's not as if she already collected the ksuva. Having the shtar is not enough. So again, our question is, that's the thing, Mara, is our conclusion. So the question of our Mishnah, of we have a suffix mamunis, a suffix of whether she gets the ksuva or does not get the ksuva. What do you do by a suffix of dinim mamunis? You get to figure out who is a muksuk in the mamun. Whoever is the muksuk, whoever is currently the owner of the money, gets to keep the money. The other party has to then bring a raya. So the question, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the machlokas is, who is a muksuk in this ksuva money? Beis Shammai says she's a muksuk because she has a shtar which says that she deserves the money. That makes her the muksuk. So in this Safek case, she's the Muksuk, so she gets the Ksuva. And Beis Hillel say no. That right now, the money's in the pockets of the Yarshim, so they're the Muksuk, and therefore the case of Safek Mamunis will go to the Yarshim, because they're the ones who are in the Muksuk in the Ksuva money. So that is the two dots on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. We're going to start the next point. It's going to then lead to a Meitzvah, which goes to like halfway to next week's daf. So we'll start a bit and then we'll stop at the mezveh. So mu'baris chavira v'chulei. The Mishnah had then spoken about another example of people where there's no, where she does not drink the mei sota, which is a category of people which we said where you're not supposed to be married to this woman. So some examples were it's almana l'kohen gadol, it's usur for you to be married to that woman, so therefore you're not going to drink the mei sota. Other examples were, well, hey, there's a mitzvah of pru revu on every single. On every single male to have children. Ooh. So if you're married to a woman who is very old, or she's unable to have kids, or she's an islandess, she's in a category, she lacks the, never reached puberty, she also lacks the ability to have kids. So in those cases, you shouldn't be married to her. So it's a machlokes in the Mishnah. Is that considered einer uya lekaima? I have to get divorced. I have to marry somebody else so I can be mekayim in the mitzvah of pru revu. So it's a machlokes in the Mishnah. That one, the chachamim said that that's considered The Chachamim said that that's considered that you have to get that since Reb Meir said that they don't get the ksuba, they don't drink the meisota because you have to be mekayim the mitzvah of pru revu, and this woman you can't be mekayim the mitzvah of pru revu with. The Chachamim said, yeah, but I could just marry somebody else too. I can marry somebody else in the meantime, be mekayim the mitzvah of pru revu with them, and then I could stay married to this other woman, or I can get remarried to her afterwards. This isn't an inherently usur relationship because I can be mekayim the mitzvah of pru revu in other ways. So that question of when you're married to a woman who you can't do the mitzvah of pru revu with. The question, there's a machlokes, is that considered that she's a woman you shouldn't be married to, and therefore you're not going to drink the mesota? That was a machlokes in the Mishnah. By three different people, by an islandess, by a zekena who's very old, she can't have kids, and another example of a woman who's in her ill laid, who actually said she drinks some sort of a potion which prevents her from having kids, like some sort of a birth control. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Bar Rav Huah, the Gemara clarifies the machlokas in our Mishnah that there are two different studim, but whether this is going to be excluded from sota or not excluded from sota, the machlokas is only by an akara the zekena, by an akara and a zekena, a woman who's barren or a woman who's very old. And therefore, those are reasons why she can't have kids. So in those, that's where there's a machlokes, that there's a tzad to say that maybe she could drink the mesota because you could just marry somebody else and that'll be totally fine. About islandness, divrei hakol, lo shosa, velo noteles, ksuvasa. By an islandness, the Gemara wants to be mecharish, that an islandness, a woman who is naturally, by definition, she's lacking the kalim to be able to have children, by that, everyone would agree that she does not drink the sota water, not just because, oh, I shouldn't be married to her because I have to do the mitzvah of pruvu with somebody else, but exeris hakosel, shenamar, v'niksa v'nizra azera, that the pasuk says that after she drinks the water and she's really innocent, then she's going to have a child. That misha darka lahazria, referring to a category of people who are potentially able to have children, but yatzazu, she'ein darka lahazria, to the exclusion of an islandess who, by definition, just her makeup is incapable of having children. That's going to be completely excluded from the halachos of sotas. That's the beginning of next week's conversation. The Mishnah had said three different cases: an older woman, a woman who had some kosel ikrin, or an islandess. That they all is a machlokes whether she can have the ksuva or not, because you have to do the mitzvah of pur revu. Our Gemara is clarifying that actually everyone agrees an islandess is in a category of herself and is totally excluded from the halachos of sota by exeris hakasuv. Gemara is going to bring a mespeh to try to discuss whether the islandess really is the kulei alma excluded from sota or not. So we discussed three different main questions today. One is, by Alveras Hadas, we know that she loses her ksuva. Do you have to give her a hasra'a before she loses her ksuva? But a raya from our Mishnah, that you do. Second question was, Overa Saldas, can you decide that you want to stay married to her, or can you not decide to stay married to her? That was unclear if we actually reached the maskana over there. Third question was, can the husband be mochel on his kina? We concluded that yes, the husband can retract his warning, but only if it's before she was miyache with the husband, with Reuven, and after the stira, at that point it would be too late to retract his kina. And we discussed machlokas b'shamay and b'shillel about when there's a suffix, but whether she gets the ksuva or does not get the ksuva. It depends on whether shtara ha'omid livos kegavoy dummy or a lot. Dummy.
She does drink.